let's talk about the skilled gaming policy. So first, I'm going to talk about some stuff that most of you already know, but because this is, say, a point of confusion for a lot of people, let's talk about what the difference is between gambling and gaming, at least as Lemon Lab sees it and as a lot of state laws see it. So gambling is betting, wagering, something of value, money, on a contest, sporting event, game of chance. So it's regulated by state law for the most part. There's a couple federal laws, but for the most part, we're looking at state law. Gaming, it's playing skilled games that require skill or a player's control of the game. And some states permit betting, wagering on skill-based games. Other states do not. It's a whole list of states that do not. And even within that, there's a whole list of different hierarchies of what kinds of skill-based games might be allowed and what kinds might not be allowed. And some states allow social betting, some states don't allow social betting, and some states allow betting if it's regulated by the state, but not betting if it's not regulated by the state. And some states define their games differently. In some states, poker is a game of skill. In some states, poker is a game of chance. Completely up to the state. So really, we can sit here and argue all day over things like whether poker is a game of skill or not. Well, we can debate it. What's illegal gambling-wise? And it depends, because gambling is regulated by state law. So a game operator is not allowed to take money in any form, this includes Linden dollars, for participation in unlawful internet gambling. So this means that if you are a game operator, it's your job to know the laws of the state that the player is in. It's not the player's job to tell you, oh, it's illegal for me to be here. It's your job. The burden is on you. This is why Lemon Lab is making these changes. This is why all of this is now coming down on you. I don't know why it's coming down now, because really it came down in 2007 when Lemon Lab made its blanket all games must be skill-based games policy. It's just taken 7 years for Lemon Lab to implement it correctly. But this is what it is. So, you know, gaming law differs from state to state, as I said. So betting on and operating games of chance is not legal in Second Life. Slot machines, roulette, etc. Sploters. I've seen people ask about sploters. The typical implementation of a sploter where everybody pays an amount in, the clock ticks down, the sploter goes boom, and everybody who paid in gets a random amount back. That is a game of chance. So what is legal? It depends. It is legal to take money for participation in games of skill as long as the players can legally participate in their state. So some states have held that an entrance fee is not a bet. So if you're paying to play a game, to participate in a contest, even if there's a prize at the end, that's okay. That's not even a bet. It just depends on how that system is set up. So if you're paying to participate in a contest and there's a car as a prize, that may just be, you know, a sweepstakes, and sweepstakes have their own regulations. You know, that may be perfectly legal as long as you follow those regulations. So as we know, betting on and operating games of skill, if you do it according to the policy, is permitted in Second Life. So let's talk about the policy. So the games that are affected by the policy, all games in Second Life, if they cost Linden dollars to play and they have a payout in Linden dollars, are affected by the policy. So who is affected? Anyone that wants to create or operate skill games in Second Life. People that just want to play are not affected by the policy. The policy does not talk about players. That's Linden Lab's job. And so I saw somebody ask a moment ago how you know where your players are. That's Linden Lab's job. Linden Lab will block people from your regions by IP address if their IP address comes from a state that is not allowed. That doesn't always work because we know that geolocation is hit and miss, but that's what they're doing. Absolutely right. Yeah. It may be by their billing info. It may be by their IP address. Linden Lab has implemented their system, and all hail the mighty system, because my God, they're not, certainly not going to get anything wrong. So how you comply with the policy, you fill out an application, you get an opinion letter from an attorney, and you sign that affidavit. And that has its own complications and problems, and I'm sure I'll get questions about that. So gotchas, breedables, things like that, they're not gambling. I've answered so many questions about that, not affected by the policy, because they don't have a payout in Linden dollars. If it doesn't have a payout in Linden dollars, not gambling. It doesn't matter what the risk versus reward is. It doesn't matter that you can sell your rare breedables for a kajillion dollars. They're not breedables. Stock exchange, not gambling. Contest boards, depends on how they're set up, but if it costs Linden dollars to play and it has a payout in Linden dollars, it's gambling. If it doesn't, not gambling. So old games, if I've had my beloved Greedy machine for 5 years and it doesn't pay out, but it has the ability to pay out, but got that turned off, if it could pay out in Linden dollars, it's affected by the policy. I'm sure that a lot of the gaming providers are going to be offering non-payout versions. I can't speak for them because I'm not them, but I'm sure that there's going to be a big market in non-payout, non-officially gambling versions of games, and there should be a market in that real soon now. So I'm kind of opening myself up, but I cannot give legal advice. If you have specific questions about specific situations, you know, or X, Y, and Z is happening to me and I don't know what to do, I can't answer those questions, at least not right now. We can talk offline or after the event, but I can give general answers to questions about, you know, what I'll tell you if I can answer the question. So fire away. Let me scroll back and see what's been asked already. Yeah, okay, so if you live in a country that prohibits online gambling, I'm sure Linden Lab will add that to the list. They're compiling the list of states and countries that do not permit online gambling. No. So the difference is it's where the prize money is coming from. If the prize money is coming from the people who are playing the game, so think about a Sploder. When you're playing a Sploder, each person puts in the money, and then when the game goes off, everybody who put the money in wins some of it. That's a game of chance, and that would be betting. Prize money, it comes from an external source. So it comes from the person offering a prize money doesn't have a chance to win it. It comes from the organization that is running the game. So they don't have a chance to win it. They are obliged to pay it to the person that wins. And so that's somebody running a contest. And then maybe there are entrance fees to play the contest. But that's kind of the difference between gambling, where everybody paying into the pot that then they can potentially win, or a prize money, which is put up by someone else. Does that make more sense? And no, a Sploder is not like a lottery. A Sploder is like a coin-operated game. It's a game of chance. I can't tell you if sponsorship is allowed. That's much more of a blanket question. It would have to be how something is set up. Pay to play, but no way to win anything back. Sounds like that would probably be okay. I'm not sure what people would get out of it, but that sounds like it would, yeah. I can't tell you that, yes, that would certainly be okay, but under the way the policy is currently written, that sounds all right. It looks like my comment about entrance fees and bets has confused a lot of people. Let me back up. A couple states have had that discussion. This is something that would have to be a state-by-state evaluation. Don't let that throw you off. And maybe I shouldn't have even mentioned it, because what you have to look at is not whether a state has made that determination. You've got to look at Linden Lab's policy. Linden Lab right now is your state. The Linden Lab policy is all that matters. And if Linden Lab makes a determination about entrance fees and whatnot, that's what matters more than Arizona state law. So back up a little bit about the entrance fee question. Your law, as far as you're concerned, is the skill gaining policy. So I would not suggest trying to create a system of entrance fees and prize monies and things like that, because that opens up complications of having to comply with sweepstakes law and contest law, and that gets really super difficult. I'm sorry if I confused people. I was just making the example. No. If someone in your sim has a game that could have a payout, that game no longer belongs in that sim. That those games now belong in special gaming sims. All skill-based games are now going to be basically relegated to skill-based gaming sims. So they wouldn't be able to have that game on your sim unless you live in a skill-based gaming sim. I'm not sure what that question is. If it is a game that costs Linden dollars to play and has a payout, then it applies. Then the gaming policy applies. It doesn't matter how old the game is. If it has a method of paying and payout that is totally outside Second Life, yeah, I think that's probably that Second Life will probably end up banning those. I'm not sure, but that sounds like using a loophole, and those will probably end up getting banned. Again, that's an exploit, and they'll track down on exploits. You'll have to give me more information. Oh, okay. Like Facebook games, no payout. Yeah, I think that'd be fine. I think the gaming policy specifically excludes things like that. Eleanor, it is restricted by all of these games will be on special regions, and only people who are located in areas where this kind of gambling is legal will be allowed on those regions. Yeah, I have opinions about that practice. I'm not sure that there are things that I can say in a professional setting. If you're going to be hiring an attorney, you need to know who they are. You need to be able to look up their credentials. You need to be able to look up whether or not they've got any bar actions against them. You need to know who you're hiring. I'm a privacy attorney. That's what I do. So I get privacy. Yeah, there may be people that have not had a problem yet. He may be a fantastic attorney. He may be awesome. But what he's doing is shady as hell. And he is withholding his credentials. He is withholding your ability to verify who he is, what he's done, whether or not he is competent until you pay him. And yes, you know, you don't even know whether or not he is licensed and in good standing. More importantly to me is he's purporting to give an opinion on, let's say you live in California. So he's got to be able to give an opinion to a California resident on California state law. An attorney can't give a legal opinion on state law unless he is licensed to practice in that state. I wouldn't be able to give an opinion on Maryland state law. Tim would. Tim's licensed to practice in Maryland. But I wouldn't. I can give you all kinds of opinions on California state law or on federal law. But as I have established, gambling law and gaming law are mostly state law issues. Yeah, the SLBA has a verification service. No, you don't need a reasoned legal opinion from each of the states. You need a reasoned legal opinion from the state that you're in, because you need a reasoned legal opinion that your practices don't violate your state law. I couldn't begin to tell you how long before Linden Labs gets its stuff together. And that kind of leads me to one of the problems that's currently going on, is that this application that Linden Lab requires that potential operators list certain things on their application that Linden Lab hasn't been able to provide yet. I don't know if you've all been aware, but the deadline for submitting these applications was supposed to be August 1st. It just got pushed back to September 1st, mostly because Linden Lab hasn't been able to provide things like a list of permitted games or a list of regions or, you know, the things that Linden Lab is supposed to provide to all of its potential game operators and game creators. So right now there's a little bit of chaos going on. I don't even know if they're going to make the September 1st deadline. We'll see. As far as any luck that states will change and allow it, you got me. There have been, I can't speak to individual states, but there have been efforts in Congress to loosen restrictions on internet gaming for 7 years. So, your guess is as good as mine. That's not true. Several of us practice in-world. I practice in-world. I have several in-world clients. And I haven't started writing reasoned legal opinion letters. I know a couple people have approached me about them, but I do have clients in-world and out-of-world. You can have attorneys in Second Life. I mean, obviously, we're a whole bunch of them. It's not something that the terms of service prohibits. That's correct. For purpose of the RLO, you really should hire an attorney who is licensed to practice in your state or country or jurisdiction. Yes, that's correct. All games that we currently have should be skill-based in one way or another. That doesn't mean that they are. It means that they should be. And Linden Lab has had that policy since 2007. When it comes to operators that take in customers from each state, no, operators do not need a reasoned legal opinion for each of the legal areas. They need an opinion for their games. So if you've got a game and, you know, you're operating your games, you need a reasoned legal opinion for the games that you're operating. The players are Linden Lab's responsibility. Linden Lab is screening those players. And that's kind of the purpose of the skill gaming regions. That's the whole reason that they've implemented this system of everybody has to move to the skill gaming regions, and you have to pay this extra fee and all of this stuff, and that's to pay for Linden Lab's extra overhead of screening the players and making sure that only players from states and countries that allow skill-based gaming can come and play. You don't need an attorney that is licensed in the USA. You need an attorney that can write an opinion letter that says that what you're doing is permitted in your country.
I have a question about the state. You said the state controls gaming policies and gambling and online gambling and so forth, and nothing was done for 7 years by Linden Labs. Does that mean that the federal government possibly is involved in pushing Linden Labs to do something?
No, I don't believe that the federal government is pushing Linden Labs to do anything. This is part of an ongoing effort from Linden Lab to clean up all kinds of areas of its activity. If you look, there's a bunch of efforts that Linden Lab is going through to clean up gambling and underage sexual activity and money transactions. You have all of the stuff that it did with third party financial transactions last year, and all of that was and still is setting the stage for this next generation of Second Life. It's really just Second Life is cleaning up as much of it as it can to try to move itself into the future and to try to bring itself into line with federal regulations. What it did in 2007 was implement a policy saying games of chance and gambling are banned, but games of skill are permitted. And that was fine. That was a good effort. What it's doing now is kind of the next generation of that and saying, all right, we still have games of skill, but we're going to make a better effort to tighten the regulations on it and make sure those games of skill are only accessible by people in regions where it's legal and those games of skill are not cheating anyone and there's more transparency involved and you have to go through some sort of approval process to have one of these games of skill and to run one of these games of skill so we don't have shady operators just stealing people's money and so on and so forth.
Just one other question too, I'm sure people are really interested in. Recently they just posted that they're going to create secondary accounts for all of us. And that's a way of controlling and monitoring everything that we do. Is there any constitutional, you know, rights being violated here where they're wanting to know every single thing we make, every time we pay someone, with this secondary account, it's causing a lot of headaches for people.
I had not heard about the secondary account thing. Is that going to be your owner?
Right, the owner of the games and so forth. Like, some games aren't transferable. There's lots of things that are screwed up by this process where, you know, yeah, there it is, there and local.
Okay, or, okay.
I think they're just creating, that's going to be linked, I guess, to our main accounts. Is this, you know, it's creating a headache for everyone. I didn't know if you knew about it.
No, I had not heard about that. That's new to me. I don't know what kind of oversight Lin Lab is going to have about that. It's not a matter of constitutional issues. You have some privacy issues, but given that the terms of service is getting your consent and you are applying for one of these accounts, you're waiving a lot of those privacy rights you might have. So I, you know, really know. There may be a couple issues, but I would have to know exactly what is going on with Linden Lab and those accounts. I think really what is going to go on is that those accounts will be used strictly for money transactions, and Linden Lab will monitor them to make sure that they aren't being used for fraudulent money transactions. So I know that people are still concerned about the reasoned legal opinion. So let me try to clarify. The reasoned legal opinion, let me clarify what that is. The legal opinion is giving an opinion about the games that you are operating or creating. It's not giving an opinion about the people playing the games. So it's giving an opinion about whether or not the games that you are operating or creating are legal in your state. If you're operating them or creating them in 14 different states, yeah, you might need 14 different legal opinions, but you're probably not. You're probably living in one state, and you probably need one with a legal opinion. The attorney needs to understand and be able to speak to the gaming laws in your state because he or she needs to know whether or not what you're doing is legal in your state. If you're hiring someone who doesn't understand how your game works and how your laws work, that may be a problem. You can sit down with an attorney and explain how your game works. They don't need to know the code. They don't need to look at the code because they probably can't read LSL. But they do need to know how their state's gaming laws work and whether or not what you're doing complies with them. Oh, thank you, Ellen. That's great. That's fantastic. So, yeah, they're talking about quarterly fees, and I have seen that. That is problematic. I don't like the fact that they're not disclosing the amount of quarterly fees they're going to be charging. That bothers me too, that they can have you sign up for a contract and just announce that they'll be charging some nebulous quarterly fee and not tell you what it is. Yeah, that bothers me a lot. What I would normally advise you to do is not sign up for that contract, because that sounds like a really bad deal. And I know that that doesn't help anybody a lot. Yeah, don't take that deal. Okay.
Agenda, what you just said, then, we basically can't even operate. They're offering us something we have to follow through with, but what you're telling us, advising us as an attorney, it's not a good idea to sign that contract. We have no choice.
I am incredibly sympathetic to that. There's not much that an attorney can do, or really that you guys can do. What it sounds to me like is that Linden Lab doesn't have their crap together on this. I kind of grumble about a lot of the things that Linden Lab is doing right now, but I don't think they're doing something shady or malicious by not disclosing the quarterly fees. I just don't think they have their shit together right now. I think there's too much that is left undone and unfinished with a lot of the application process, and I think that's just one of the things that's left unfinished, that they don't know what the quarterly fees are yet, and so they're leaving it blank. Yeah, I agree. They would have made the August 1st deadline, and they didn't. And I don't think they're going to make the September 1st deadline. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if you'll be able to convert back if you're locked in at a higher rate. I don't think they have figured that out yet. I think you may be right, but I think what they're doing is waiting to see how many people are applying for the gaming regions. I think they need to know how many gaming regions they're going to have and what their cost to run them is going to be, and factor all of that in before they figure out what the quarterly fees are going to be. But they need to tell people what the quarterly fees are going to be before they can apply. And so it's, again, Linden Lab has to get their crap together.
Now, my question is towards multiplayer games. Now, if a player comes, a group of people come, and they sit down as a group and they pay to play a skill-based multiplayer game, would it be wrong to add a progressive pot that a percent of their paying goes to a progressive if they get, you know, a score? They hit that score and it's considered a skill-based game. Would that still having a progressive jackpot be considered chance?
Okay, so that's actually a pretty good question. So what people use is sort of, there's a test, and it's kind of the dominant factor test in figuring out whether something is a skill-based game or a chance-based game. So basically, what you have to do is make sure that when you're creating a game, that most of the game is skill-based. It's got to be primarily a skill-based game. And so if when you're creating the game, the majority of the game and the majority of the payout of the game comes from the player's skill, you're probably okay. I can't give you legal advice, and so I can't give you a specific, you know, oh yes, this game is okay, but this game is not. But, you know, in general, if what you've got is most of your, backgammon is a good example, yeah. But again, you look at poker, and poker is right on that edge, because some states view it as a skill game and some states view it as a chance game. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. I view poker as a skill game, but boy, I like to play poker, and I, you know, I like the skill of it. But I think it's, you have to figure out how much of the player's skill influences the game. And in terms of adding that progressive jackpot, that's adding an element of chance. So you need to balance that with more skill on the front end.
Okay, like the skill, though, would be like if a player is playing a game and they're using the skill to get that high score to achieve that pot. Now, if somebody don't have a lot of skill because they don't, you know, they're trying to figure out the skill, their knack in the game to realize, okay, this is what I got to do to be more skillful in it. Would you still consider that chance, because everyone has a chance at it. It's the way you play the game. There's no wild cards in the game that I'm talking about. There's no, hey, I'm going to take away your score because you hit this and it's a negative. It's all skill based of what the player, how they play that game. So wouldn't it be considered like a bonus? Like you've achieved it. You're very skillful and knowledge of the game. You know how to play it. So wouldn't that be considered more of a bonus to add on to the game for the players to, like an incentive, like you learned the game, here's an incentive pot. Would that still be considered chance?
I think that's a good question. It may be a little more specific than we can get into right now. I'd be happy to discuss it with you maybe after this. But
yeah, I'll stick around with you.
I think that the variable random payout, anytime you start using things like random is absolutely chance. You know, you start rolling dice and start using RNGs, that's chance. So I wouldn't say that you can never use random elements, but the more randomness you include, the more skill you have to build in. Yeah, I think this is... we can tie up things right now. It's gone an hour and a half, but I can hang out a little bit afterwards, and I know people still have some questions. I think there are a couple in IM that I didn't get to, but I'll hang out and just chat. Thank you, everyone, and thank you very much, Inara and Zen, for recording, and please, if you will, send me the link as well, and I'll stick it on my blog and plurk it and all of that stuff. And you rock. Thank you guys so much for all of the awesome questions.
Hey, guys, just a real quick question. Are you guys offering the RLOs? Are you guys doing any RLO work?
I can do some RLOs, but only in California. Yeah, I was actually just going to say what Jen said. If you can find some people in your state, you could probably basically come together and form an LLC, form a small corporation, and, you know, work together.